It's still crazy to me that data gaps have not been updated since 2012. Like, I feel like they are so ripe for a revolution.
But, you know, we're in the AI era and AI is going to completely change dating. But I think we're all still a little scared.
Hi, I'm Yui Xu.
And I'm Julie Kraftchik.
We're active daters turned dating sociologists.
Here to dive into everything modern dating and relationships.
Welcome to the Dateable Podcast.
Hello, friends.
Welcome back.
We are about to dive into a topic that is probably going to be very polarizing, and that is our best friend AI.
Yes, it is.
And the question is, can AI save dating apps? Because we know dating apps need a major renovation.
I mean, the fact that they haven't really had like a technological upgrade since 2012 with Tinder. I was thinking about this the other day, like Match was the first one, 1995. We actually talked to the founder of Match, if you ever want to go back to the archives. And he started through email, then went to a website. Mm-hmm. Then Grindr obviously was like the first like app based in 2009. And then Tinder took over some of the, you know, functionality of Grindr with the swipe. And then since then, it really, it's been like little shifts, but nothing big. So 2012, that's over 10 years ago, over a decade ago.
And it's always the functionality that's not really changing or evolving. I know that Bumble came in and,
you know, same shit.
Shifted. Yeah, it's the same shit, but shifted how you can message. But did you hear the latest from the new Bumble CEO that she's thinking about not having women make the first move?
Oh, yes, I did see that, which is long overdue, in my opinion. I feel like it is not feminist to put all the work on women.
Right, exactly. But then it's like, what is Bumble really known for?
I know.
What is their competitive advantage? It's just another Tinder. So yes, long overdue. Apps need some sort of improvement or major renovation.
Yeah, I mean, we can't wait to dive into this because, yeah, like UA said, AI is polarizing. I fully admit that before we had our guest today to talk about, you know, the future of AI and dating apps, I was very skeptical, very skeptical. And then after talking to him, it's UA's friend, Ben, who founded the app Volar. After talking to him, I'm a full believer. So we're going to get into all of it and why the shift and our thoughts and then also our community's thoughts. But before we do, we want to share a couple of our new partners with you all. Partners, I mean by ad partners, not our, you know, romantic partners. That always sounds so weird, but... Before we get into our topic and updates and all that, let's hear a message from them. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? Yeah, not great for our already struggling environment. That's why I'm so excited to talk about our partner today, Blueland. Blueland is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. And the concept is pretty simple. You just fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. I literally just tried out the laundry tablet, and instead of having to bring my huge container like I normally do down the hall, I just brought the one tablet, and my clothes came out so clean, just as clean as normal. I'm fully on board. It just makes my life easier, and I'm helping the environment. And the best part, Blueland has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/dateable. You won't want to miss this. Blueland.com/dateable for 15% off. That's blueland.com/dateable to get 15% off. Okay, so AI and dating. So much to unpack.
Well, that was actually, AI was such a big topic at South By this year. As you all know, we went to South By as one of our favorite events of the year. And there was an actual AI track. This is new for this year. And they talked about everything from ethical issues with AI to practical issues with AI. But AI dating was not there yet. I don't think I saw anything about AI dating. So we're ahead of the game. We're a year ahead.
I think what I'm really learning about AI, this is from like a business standpoint that I think does apply to dating too, is I was kind of anti it at the beginning because I was like, oh, I don't want this to replace like thought, right? Like I feel like you can really start to get generic if you're typing all articles into ChatGPT or, you know, like if what brings like uniqueness even to this podcast and what we do is our perspective. And if all that starts to get like compounded into AI, you just lose, you know, the thinking behind everything. And I'm like, that's scary. But what I've been learning is that AI actually helps with a lot of efficiencies in business and the stuff you don't really want to be doing, like, you know, translating and writing show notes, like summarizing bullets so we can, you know, expand our content in other directions. Like that all is super useful. And I think when you think of like dating, you think of like, oh, now people are going to write like, you know, even less personalized messages or trick us with photos and all that. But I think what we've learned on this podcast too with Ben is like that isn't the vision that he had. It's first of all, is it AI saving dating? What is AI and what how are we actually using it?
As with all technology, like dating apps, if we use it for good, it will benefit us. If we use it for bad, it will be evil for us. And the reason why we are scared of AI is because we're afraid of the bad actors who are going to abuse the technology. But AI can do so much for our personal lives so that it creates space for us to just be human. Yeah. I think that is where I'm sold on AI dating. Let AI do all the shit you don't want to do so that you can spend more time cultivating relationships, connecting with humans, rather than being bogged down in messaging or bogged down in what should be my initial message or how many people should I swipe on. Those are not humanly friendly activities, and it's also not a good use of our time.
Right. And that's what's killing people and bogging people down in dating today is just like how much work it is and how much effort it is. And you never even get to connect with another human being. Like, how do we bring more dates into the picture? Like, that's what dating is. Like, you don't need a profile to be in a relationship. Like, that's the one thing you don't need to get good at is writing a profile. But we all acknowledge that in dating, in order to get to that relationship, you do need that profile. So like, how can we remove some of this? Back to like our time at South by Southwest, like I think my takeaway from a lot of these sessions too was there was a lot of reflection on social media and how at first we thought like, oh, this is great. It's connecting us with our family and friends around the world. It's going to help us connect. And then it did the opposite. It made us more disconnected. We spent more time in front of screens. We got obsessed with how many likes we were getting and all the sort. So a big message with AI was like, how do we get ahead of it that we use it for good and like let humanity catch up and we don't replace connection with AI? And I think that's where it gets scary for people is when the connection gets changed.
Well, the fear is how can you, what if you're unable to decipher between AI and a human?
Yeah.
And that's very scary in a dating context. How do I know if I'm talking to AI or talking to a real person? And I think in Ben's app in Volar, he makes it very clear the delineation between the two. And that's something we need to take into consideration for everything we use in AI. We know when we're interacting with AI and we know when we're interacting with a human. There has to be clarity around that.
Remember, UA, you sent me an article about like AI with photos. Do you remember this? And you were like,
yes.
It was like, what was the promise that we can get you like 10x the matches if we use AI on your photos?
They can optimize your profile photo.
And you were like, that's catfishing or maybe kitted fishing. Like you kind of look like you, but And I think that's where AI can be scary in dating. I agree, fully agree with that.
And if you do use AI for that to optimize your photos, there should be a watermark that says generated by AI. You know, just like, let's just be honest about it.
Right. Or like use it as a convo starter. Like, this is my AI photo. This is my real self. Like, what do you think?
Yeah.
Instead of like decepting people into like, this is what I look like.
Yes. Yes. We don't want to be deceived yet. Okay. On the receiving end, you don't want to be deceived. But on the other end, you also want to present the best version of yourself and you think that AI can get you there.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, they're conflicting.
I was really curious what our audience thought because like I think everyone can agree dating apps are flawed today, but were people ready for AI? So the results, we did a little poll. We did one in Instagram and in Facebook. What is your guess actually before? Maybe you saw the results already. You probably
did. I didn't see the results. I feel like people on Facebook probably were like, fuck AI. I don't want to do anything with it. I don't want to touch it. I'm scared of it. And people on Instagram were probably, because people on Instagram skew a little younger and also a little bit more open to new technology, I'm guessing they're like split down the middle.
You're mostly right. So Facebook, 7% of people in our audience, this is on our Facebook group, Big Dateable Energy, 7% said, hell yeah. Yeah, I'm all about AI. It can save dating. 72% said hard no, which is in line with UA's thoughts. And then 19% said they were not sure, but I'm curious. And then on Instagram, 9% said hell yes, so only 2% more than Facebook.
Oh.
But 38% said hard no, and 52% said not sure, but I'm curious. So more people were curious and open on Instagram. So generally in line with what you think. And I think why I'm so bullish about this episode, I'm like discrediting myself because you know I always say like every episode's my favorite. But I did text UA after I got the edit back from our wonderful editor, Stefan.
Yes, Stefan.
I was like, this episode is like one of the best ones we've done because it's so fascinating. And it totally changed my perspective on AI. And I think this episode can really start to open the convo and get these curious people, like, you know, the wheels moving.
Just remember when Netflix came out.
Yeah.
People said, oh, God.
Never.
Oh, no. Yeah. I would never do that. I would never stream. That's just so weird, using internet to watch movies. No, I would never do that. And look at where we are
100%.
Today. When computers came out, when cell phones came out, same thing. People were like, I don't know. I think that's like only for rich, weird people, or it's only for a subset of the population. And look at us now. There's mass adoption. So AI is going to see mass adoption. And the theory is that in 5 years, we're going to reach AGI, which is artificial general intelligence. AI will be just as intelligent as humans. So there will be, whether you want it or not, mass adoption of AI. So why not start getting curious about it today so that you don't feel behind in 5 years?
So this is the part when you say even that, just as smart as humans, that does make me cringe a little.
That's scary.
But hearing at South By was the way that we're kind of currently using AI is ChatGPT is just taking from Google and the internet and all that. Yeah. But where the future lies, at least like in this intermediate time too, is that humans can start to train AI. And I've seen a lot of people doing this. Like you can create GPTs from yourself. Like my old manager, he created one for analyzing like problems from someone that's a design expert. So he used his intelligence and brain to fuel this. It just comes back to this, like, are we using it for humanity and for dating? Like, are we using it to, you know, shortcut connection and deceive people? Or are we using it to actually get to the in real life experiences and get rid of all the noise and the challenges that we currently face?
I mean, imagine if we're harnessed with all of the knowledge from the world in a matter of milliseconds. I think that is where we need to start expanding. Because right now, yes, you think you have all the answers at the tip of your fingers. You just go on your phone. You still have to search for it. Eventually, it's just going to be part of your knowledge. Yeah. That's crazy to harness all of that. Imagine how much more we can evolve and grow if we just have all the knowledge at our disposal. Yeah.
Anyways, we're excited to dig in more in this episode. Quick South By updates, maybe before we get into it. We had such a great time at this point. We're a couple weeks back, but we did want to take the opportunity to share a little about some of the incredible people we met, you know, and what we learned. I feel like we went to some really great sessions. Maybe I'll start there. I think just even related to Dateable, like actually I went to this session, you did not, UA, but the one with Justin McLeod from Hinge. Mm-hmm. It was really interesting to hear his thoughts because he mentioned he realized that like his app turned into not what he was trying to create in the first place because he was focused on, you know, the metrics of dating apps.
The stickiness.
Yeah, like how long people can stay on the apps and how often they use them. And he's like, this actually isn't what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to connect people. So that's why they made their huge shift in, I forget what year it was, but there was this whole like rebrand. Do you remember that whole thing? Like how we're in the dating apocalypse. apocalypse, and now we're the app designed to be deleted.
Designed to be deleted.
And he was like, the one metric that I look at is like, are you going on dates? Like, that's the metric.
Yeah.
And he said that they're the only app that actually asks, have you been on a date? And I'm like, that is really important to think about. But his whole thing was about just connection. And, you know, you can feel disconnected even when you're around people and like the loneliness epidemic. So I found that very interesting. And then Jay Shetty, both of us went to similar topic, similar realm of discussion around connection. What was his called? It was like, I feel lonely when you're not next to me or something.
I feel lonely even with you.
Even when you're next to me. Yeah. Yeah. It's basically like how we spend more time on our phones than like with our loved ones. So those were kind of like in the realm of this, but a lot of great talks this year, a lot of really incredible speakers.
Every other panel was about loneliness. It was like AI and loneliness and this and loneliness and healthcare industry and loneliness. We are in that loneliness era right now. We need to, this is actually very devastating to hear, and we need to do absolutely need to do something about it.
I think what really clicked for me, because I feel like I've heard this, right? The loneliness epidemic. And I think it really clicked for me even of like, oh, that doesn't apply. I have a lot of friends. Like I have a lot of people in my life. But what they were saying is like, it's not about who you're surrounded with. It's like, do you feel seen and heard? We were talking about this and I'm like, I've definitely been at like the dinner table and I'm like, I don't feel like connected to people right this minute. Yes. I don't feel like they understand me. And I was like, maybe I am lonely in some regards. Like, I think loneliness is like a weird, it's maybe it's not the right word that's like fully capturing what it is. I'm not sure what that word is, but that's where I think people maybe think, oh, it doesn't apply.
I think of the word empty.
Yeah.
I think that's what's described the times that I've been around people physically and felt empty inside, felt like I couldn't be my authentic self, felt like they didn't really understand me and that we weren't really connecting. I wouldn't say, I was feeling lonely in those times, but definitely like this lack of something inside of me.
I think modern dating is empty. It's like you go on date after date. You have the same date talk, the same date review, the same conversation, new person, different body. Like that is empty. We can expand on it another episode because I think there's a lot to say on this
topic. We should. Yeah. This one is very, very interesting. I actually just had a friend tell me after going through a breakup, she went on all these dates. She even went on a sex party and just ended up crying in a room by herself at the end of it because she's like, it's not about getting people into my funnel. I can be around people. Yeah. I can get people to go on dates with me, but it's that connection that we are so desiring. Yeah. And the more people you connect with physically without an emotional connection, the lonelier you feel.
It exasperates it. It totally does. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Another topic.
Yes. We also met some awesome people. We got to meet Saba Hamedi. Many of you might have actually even come in from this. She wrote an article in 2020 about love in the time of Corona. And her friend Jamie will give her a shout out. She was an avid Dateable listener. And she said to Saba, like, you have to listen to this podcast. And then Saba started listening. And then she's like, I'm going to interview them for my article. And that article like really helped us. It like really got our message out there to a lot of people. I remember an influx of people joining the Facebook group. This was prime during the pandemic. And it actually helped Saba actually find love herself. She's now engaged. So it was incredible to meet her. We all were like, wait, have we not met before? Because it felt like knew each other, but we realized we hadn't. We got to meet her awesome friend, Kate, as well. We had a great time with them. And we're also like, Saba, you got to come on the podcast and share your success story.
So she is.
She is. So we'll have that in the future.
We also were able to a tag team at a networking event. It's so much easier networking when you're with someone.
I just like now have a bad image of tag team from sex parties. I don't know. Anyways, sorry, I'm going to get my mind out of the gutter.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, we did not go there, but we became very chummy with two women that we met at the creators meetup. And one of them is working on an app called Connect, I believe, where you're she really understands the loneliness epidemic as well. And she wanted to create a space for people to meet up with other people for mutual and shared interests. So it's a fabulous idea. And yeah, I think everybody sees that connection is missing, but so needed in today's world.
I really liked about what she was doing. It was like a fleeting connection too. Like, oh, you could just find like a concert buddy or like someone to like go out with, you know, in the moment more. So yeah, it was really great. We also, I got the pleasure of actually running into one of our listeners. So shout out to Paige. So that was really fun to have a listener encounter. So Paige is Dateable listener, and I just happened to run into her like when I was going into the registrant lounge at South By. I think she just lives in Austin and was checking it out. So always fun to meet our listeners. You know, if you see us out in the wild, come up and say hello.
Oh, we can't forget about the strangest, I think it was very strange, experiences we had. We went to the Unwell House, which is Alex Cooper from Call Her Daddy podcast. She's launching this network, and she had a house at South By. And Mario Carbone from the famous Carbone restaurant in New York was there serving his own pasta himself to a group of girls. And we were... accidentally, we were first in line for this and it was delicious, but still one of the strangest experiences. But I would also say when we have our Dateable House at South By, I wouldn't mind having Mario Carbone serving pasta for us either.
Oh my God, I'm all about it. The Drank House, that's what I call it someday.
Well, people don't know what Drank is, right?
That's true.
Should we give them a little background? That's... that's our parent company.
Parent company of the two of us. Yes. Well, so much has been going on. We're excited to dig into this with Ben about AI. Let us know how your opinions have changed after listening to this. You know, feel free to comment on Instagram. There's actually even ways to comment on Spotify if you're listening there. Other announcements too. There have been a lot of changes with Apple Podcasts for all of you that listen. So we're kind of doing a PSA that you actually can turn back on auto downloads. They made a change back September, I believe, with the new iOS that has been, as you update, it affects you. So you, how do you go in and change it? Is it just in settings?
Yeah. So if you haven't seen our episodes, new episodes pop up for you, it's probably because auto download is turned off. So go into podcasts, go into our show, and at the top of our show, you should be able to see an arrow, a down arrow, and make sure to click on that. If when you click on that, it'll turn on auto download again.
And it's really important because, you know, we've been trying out some new content. We have our quickies and you never know when they're going to pop up. So you want to make sure that you're getting that auto download.
You don't want to miss a quickie.
You definitely don't want to miss a quickie. It's bad dating karma to miss a quickie. Also, we will be re-releasing Finding Your Person next week. So more details to come, but mark your calendars. It's going to open at an early bird price on the 7th. We're going to be opening with an early bird price on the 7th, and that will stay open for another week, but the prices will increase. So we want you to get on it if it's something you've been thinking about. You know, we absolutely love this program. We've just heard so many great success stories from it, of just people, you know, changing the way they date, meeting people, all the work. So we can't wait to bring another cohort. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, before we get into it, let's hear a message from our sponsors.
Confession, I have a secret about how I've been able to update my wardrobe with only high quality but affordable pieces these last few years. And now I have to let the secret out because they're sponsoring this episode. It's called Quince. Yeah, if you know, you know. Quince has premium European linen dresses, gorgeous washable silk tops, luxurious cashmere, and the best part, they're priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories. So no more middleman, and that's why it costs less to you. I know Julie got herself some nice cashmere pieces, and at only $50 a sweater, come on. And I recently ventured into home goods. I got myself some premium cotton percale sheets. Ultra cooling and just feels like a 5-star hotel every night. And it's so perfect for the upcoming hot months. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/dateable for free shipping on your order and 365-day
returns. That's quince.com/dateable to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/dateable.
Spring is in the air, and you know what adds an extra spring to my step? Our partners at Viya Hemp. Need to chill out after a long day? There's a Viya gummy for that. Dealing with anxiety or stress? There's a gummy for that too. Want to set the mood in the bedroom? There's a gummy for that called High Love. Viya also carries a wide array of other gummies with and without THC, ranging from 0 to 100 milligrams. I've been struggling to stay focused lately, so I was excited to try out their Flow State gummies. These felt like a good bet to me too, because they were non-psychoactive and THC-free. But they definitely delivered, boosting my daily energy and focus. So whether you're a 2 milligram or a 50 milligram user, you can shop through their website for any strength and effects. So head to Viya Hemp and use the code DATEABLE to receive 15% off and one free sample of their award-winning gummies, 21 plus. That's VIIAHemp.com and use the code DATEABLE at checkout. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Take your passion and pleasure to a whole new level with High Love from Viya Hemp. Okay, let's hear it from Ben about AI dating.
Whenever we put AI and dating in the same sentence, I feel like it's like a very polarizing statement. Either people go, yeah, I fucking love that. Or people go, oh, hard pass. I don't want AI interfering with my dating life at all. But as we've said multiple times on this podcast, dating apps have got to evolve. I mean, they cannot just be the swipe, swipe, swipe forever. So could AI be that next phase of dating apps? And who better to answer that question than someone who founded an AI dating app? Ben, welcome to Dateable. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here and take your arrows in terms of AI dating.
And we will confirm he is real. He's not an
He's
AI
not a machine,
chatbot. Yeah. We see him on video. What you're hearing is a real voice from a real human, we think, at least. Who is Ben? He is 38 years old. He lives in LA. He's been in LA for 3 years, originally from the suburbs of LA. He is currently engaged, actually newly engaged. He's the founder of Volar Dating App. He's worked in tech for the last decade plus, working at Uber and then most recently as the director of product at Snap, focused on the My AI chatbot. So it only makes sense that you've forayed all of those skills to AI dating. But for Volar, this is something. So I've known Ben for a while. And when he first brought up this idea, I was like, I don't fully grasp it. But then Volar came to life and it's a real product, it's a real app. And the tagline is, we go on blind dates so you don't have to. First dates are simulated for both you and your match, giving you both more info before messaging the real person. Whoa.
I mean, when UA told me about this, I think the first instinct is like, oh, AI, scary. Is this going to come and ruin dating apps? But then the more I looked into it, I'm like, this makes so much sense because this is what people are frustrated by. And I'm curious, like for you, like what got you into the dating space when it came to AI?
Yeah. So I guess this goes back a couple of years. And I personally was also frustrated with a lot of the dating apps out there. As I think UA mentioned in the beginning, there hasn't been much innovation since about, I think, 12, 13 years ago, Tinder came out with a swiping mechanic, totally revolutionized dating apps. Super cool, right? Very fast to swipe, swipe, swipe. And that's been more or less the dating app scene since then. Now, the pain point for me using the dating apps was not the swiping part. That was super fast. The pain point was the second part, which is I need to actually reach out to somebody. And I have to say some version of, hey, I'm Ben. I'm super attractive. Please respond to me. or some version of that.
I hope that's what you sent out.
At some point, I pretty much send that because 90% of the time, there's no response, right? So what's the point of even crafting this like beautiful, unique little snowflake of a message? When 90% of the time they don't respond, right? So 10% of the time it says like, hey, Ben, like 3 days later, and I'm like, okay, cool. I got a live one on the wire. Now I got to like bootstrap this conversation with a complete stranger that I know nothing about other than six photos. And it takes a while to kind of get into it. So I did that. And, you know, I'm actually now engaged to my fiance whom I met on a dating app. So it does work. But at the time I was just thinking this is a lot more painful than it needs to be. And so that was years ago. And then more recently, I've been working with a lot of these AI products and thought, hey, this could be a good tool to apply to this problem that I've had, you know, many years ago. That's kind of how it came together.
And what about for your own dating experience? I mean, you've talked about the frustrations, but at what point did you go, there's got to be a better way?
Well, I mean, I was thinking that all along the way, but I guess I was working on other things at the time. At the time as well, the technology wasn't there to really, you know, change the dating apps. So there was not an easy way to make that much better before, or at least I couldn't think of one. That's just the way it is. So, you know, I was single and looking for a partner, and that's, I just play the game that's on the field, right? So I feel like that's kind of the attitude of a lot of people now in the kind of dating market, which is they're not happy with the game, but that is the game that you have to play. And people, I think, begrudgingly use dating apps because more and more, that's where people are meeting their partners. So I think that's just kind of reality right now.
I mean, I'm super pro dating app. I met my partner on Hinge also, but I agree with you. There was a lot that was just a slog. Yep. And people equate to dating is a second job. It's just so much work. It's so much effort.
Yep.
And we've heard just over the years, people growing more and more frustrated. And I think a big part is the area you were talking about, that middle part of the conversation black hole where messages go to die and people spend all this time crafting and looking at the profile, crafting the perfect message, just to have no response.
That's right.
What made you feel like this was the area that you needed to focus on outside of obviously your frustration yourself?
Well, I mean, I guess this was my biggest frustration myself. And when I talked to my friends, mostly guy friends would complain about this reaching out thing. And then on the other side, a lot of my female friends would also say, I'm just getting these generic messages. At some point, UA is kind of joking, but I literally was sending some version of like, I'm attractive, please respond. Because like, I'm not going to spend a bunch of time. I'm literally like pressing copy paste over to a bunch of people because like most of them are not going to respond anyway. I'm just like tired of crafting these beautiful one-liners when, I don't know, it could be a bot or somebody who doesn't like me on the other end. So yeah, I tried to build something that I felt my pain point myself. I think that's a good way to build product because if you don't feel the pain yourself, I guess you could build a good product if you have like great product sense or just lucky. But I felt that I feel this pain. I know a lot of people who feel this pain and it is a leap, but maybe a smaller leap to believe that other people around the world also feels this pain.
And so comes Volar. You have this idea. In the beginning, it was just an idea.
Yep.
It was like, I remember you were just playing around with the different versions of it. And now it's a full-blown app. How does it work exactly? And I have to preface this by saying, I was with a friend at a show. We were there to watch a show. Mm-hmm. And I told her about your app. And she was like, fuck the show. I'm downloading the app.
Awesome.
So we spent the next hour and a half watching her AI chat with someone else's AI, which is, it was like more entertaining than the show. So for anybody who hasn't been on the app, how does it work step by step?
Yeah, I guarantee it'll be entertaining. I can't make any other guarantees, but it'll be fun for sure. So the way that the product works is, I mean, we're on iOS and on the web. But assume you go to Volar somehow and right away you'll see that it's different than the existing dating apps because you have a conversation and the conversation is with an AI. We call it like your AI assistant, or you can think of it kind of like a matchmaker or like a friend who's trying to help you out. And then it's a natural language conversation that asks you, of course, some vitals about your name, your age, your location, etc. Then it'll shift into how would you introduce yourself as if you were introducing yourself to a friend of a friend. And we try to keep that relatively open-ended so that we give the user the option to kind of talk about career, if that's the thing that they're most interested in, or it could be about their family, or it could be about their hobbies, or it could be what they did last weekend. And so we wanted to keep it a little bit more open in the beginning so that users can kind of lead us and tell us what they care about the most in their life. And so that can be, you know, as long or short as the user wants. Then there's a third phase, which is asking them what they're interested in. So what are you looking for in a partner? Again, relatively open-ended. They can talk about physical attributes, career, you know, personal attributes, et cetera. And yeah, and then from that, that's a natural language conversation that we recommend you spend about 5 to 10 minutes on, but we see people spend as little as 2 minutes or as much as like an hour on that. So yeah, it kind of depends on the user. So after we have this language model, the AI knows something about who you are, what your preferences are, what you're looking for. And it also knows a lot about your personality and how you text. Are you casual? Mm-hmm. Are you very formal? Do you have a lot of typos? Do you use emojis? And all of that is actually captured within the AI. And it creates an AI version of you that then goes on dates with AI versions of other users. And then you'll have like about 10 exchanges simulated between from AI to AI. And every day we send you 3 matches and you can read the simulated conversation between your AI and the other user's AI before deciding if you want to take over and actually try to build a human connection or not.
Mm. So what I love about this is that it's mutual. I think like when you hear of AI taking over, there's this ick factor of like a human being there, and then on the other side, they're talking to a robot or someone that they don't know if they're real or not.
Yeah.
But I like that there is like really open transparency. And just so I understand it correctly, the human is the one that's fueling the profile still. So all that's coming from the human is just that interaction after both humans fueled it.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that's really important part in our design, Julie, which is we want it to be very clear where you're talking, like AIs are talking to each other and where humans are talking to each other. And you'll see that in our design as well. When the AIs are talking, there's no like chat bubbles. Mm. And then we'll have a line that says, you know, AI to AI. Everything after that has chat bubbles and it's totally human to human. So what I don't really like about some of the AI ideas I've heard in dating is you talk to somebody and they have a little assistant that tells them what they should say. At that point, I'm not really sure if I'm flirting with a person or an AI or like building a connection with an AI.
That's where it's creepy.
It's a little creepy. I think it's a little creepy. Yeah. From a technical standpoint, we could do that too, but we wanted to keep it like very clear. It's like either AIs are talking or humans are talking and there's no ambiguity between the two.
You said like when you want to take it over, let's say you feel like you're ready to jump in. Mm. Is it made clear that now the human is in there?
Yeah. So after the AIs talk to each other, the human still needs to request the other human and it's still a double opt-in.
Okay.
And then in that process, there will be chat bubbles. And when you see the chat bubbles, you know that's a human.
Got it.
So we do make it very, very clear. And there's literally a line that says everything above this was simulated by AI. Everything below this is, you know, human to human.
So it'll always be human, human, AI, AI. It will never be AI, human.
That's right.
Okay.
Right. The kind of brilliance in this model that I didn't really foresee when you first told me about this was when my friend was playing around with it. She really likes cheese. So her AI was telling the guy's AI how much she loved cheese and all kinds of cheese dishes that she had made, which she's like, I've never made any of these dishes. But what made it fun was that once she matched with the human, she could tell him, well, just so you know, I've never made any of those cheese dishes. Like it kind of unifies them because you can kind of talk about the AI conversation that was had. I don't know if that was made by design. Mm.
That is, I would say that is a limitation of the current AI technology is that it has what's known as like hallucinations where it will just try to like guess stuff. And if you recall, when I was at Snap working on my AI, there was tons of terrible press about hallucinations and how negative it was and how stupid it was. And I think it is really terrible for certain things. Like if you're trying to do information retrieval, trying to get facts about medicine or politics or like really hardcore facts, it's actually not a good use of this technology because it's going to guess and then it's going to be wrong and it could mislead people. So that's one of the limitations of the technology. And that's why we thought this could be useful for potentially dating because when you make a mistake, it's not that terrible. It's not like driverless cars or giving you medical information where somebody might die if it is wrong. In this case, we actually found that for lower stakes things, it's actually, as you mentioned, it's a point of connection to be like, oh my gosh, it's like AI is stupid and made something up. And we actually see that's like a very, very
blame
common,
it on the AI. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's true. It's like it's a very real thing that we're all learning how to work with AI.
Yeah.
And it's a point in common between people. And we actually find that to be a very common starting point. And you know, one of the pain points that I had, and like going back to the main point, is starting a conversation with a stranger is so hard.
Yeah.
But continuing a conversation is much, much, much easier. Right. Yeah. So if we're already talking about like, I didn't make this cheese dish. This AI just made it up. Like the conversation much easier just to continue than to like say like, hey, UA, who are you? I don't know anything about you.
I remember when I was on dating apps, I'd always blame the app. Like I'd be like, oh, it's so hard to message on here. Should we move this to text? You know, like something.
Yeah.
So I kind of like this, you know, like unifying factor of how do we just like, you know, have this third person that we can talk about the environment a bit too.
Yeah, you have something in common immediately, right? Which is pretty hard, I think, in dating apps to find. It's a searching process of trying to find something in common. And most of the times you never get there.
Right.
Well, we love the Wired article simply just for the title alone. We tried a dating app that lets a chatbot break the ice for you. It got weird.
Yep.
And it's a great title because, yeah, things can get weird. And that's partly what's fun about it. And the article's very positive about the experience. What has been the feedback that you've seen from some of the early users?
Yeah, we we've heard from a lot of users already that they've either escalated to text or SMS or have already met in person. So we know that at least to some extent, it's already working, so to speak. But if we get more specific about what people like about it, something interesting is that one of our users, for example, mentioned that she was really excited that this kind of filtered out a lot of the more casual, not very serious daters, because it does take a little bit more effort than swiping photos. And she felt like the people on Volar were much more serious than potentially some other apps. And we actually see that the users of Volar skew a little bit older and a little bit more female than kind of the widely used dating apps out there like Tinder and Hinge. So that's something that we've been hearing from users.
Can you actually go into the age one?
Sure.
Because I think that's so fascinating. You were targeting a certain demographic and ended up getting another demographic.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, I think we kind of knew ahead of time that it probably wouldn't be as good for more casual daters. And so something like 33% of our users are 25 to 34, and another 27% are 35 to 44. So about 60% of our users are, you know, 25 to 44. But we actually have a really like fat long tail of older users as well, even above 44. And we do have, you know, 18 to 24 as well, but that's actually our smallest user group.
Have you dug into why? Like, have you talked to any of those users of like what's drawing, you know, a different demographic than you thought?
Yeah, I think the thing that we're hearing most frequently is this notion of it being a little bit more serious. It takes a little bit more time and effort to not just do the onboarding, but even just every single match, you have to read a 10 exchange conversation. I mean, it's not very long, but it's longer than swiping through photos. And so for people who want to just have a lot of quick casual hookups, Tinder is better than Volar. It's much faster. But for people who are a little bit more serious in their dating journey, this actually helps them find connections a little bit better.
Right. And it depends on like what you're identifying as time consuming.
Good point.
Because I would imagine like people that, you know, are looking for a partner, I could put myself in the shoes back then. You're okay spending time if it's going to correlate to results. I think the part that really bothers people is the endless swiping and the messages that go nowhere.
Right.
So it's not the time, it's like the transaction to time.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. I guess I should clarify, when I said time is like per profile, Tinder's much faster.
Yeah.
Right? But overall, if you're trying to find a partner on Tinder, that could take a really long time.
Yeah.
Right. And be very frustrating.
Right. And then for those people who are kind of, I feel like Volar also probably has casual daters who are just fine at the AI level. Maybe they're just like, just seeing the AI interaction is enough for them. They don't need to go to human. So yeah, in some ways it does filter out the serious ones, because the serious ones would actually take it to the human level.
Yeah. I think that most of the people would find Tinder, people who are just trying to hook up, I think Tinder is probably the best, because you, all you care about is the photo. Who cares about connection and and common interests, or if, whether you made this cheese dish or not? I don't think is that important for somebody on Tinder.
So with the profile, I'm curious a little more, because that sounds like an area where it might be more time intensive, but that's really what's training the AI to have conversations.
Yeah.
What types of things are you asking for in the profile that you don't find on the standard typical dating apps?
Well, I would say that it's more about how we structure it than the specific questions that we ask. We don't tell our assistant to ask any specific questions other than basics like your name, age, location, and then the question of how do you introduce yourself and what are you looking for? Those are the questions that are fixed.
Okay.
Everything else is dynamic based on what the user wants to talk about. And that's where the power of the AI comes in, is previously you kind of need to more or less fill out a form, right? All the questions were more or less predefined. I mean, that's the case with like the first dating apps like eHarmony and Match. Then with Tinder and Hinge, maybe you can pick from a drop-down menu of a couple of different questions, but all the questions are kind of predetermined and you kind of pick from those. Whereas in Volar, it's completely dynamic. It could ask you like 7 follow-up questions about cheese dishes, right? That's just like impossible to do in the like previous technology. And that's where it's quite different. So I actually can't even answer your question of what are the specific questions. Like there's only 4 or 5 fixed ones. Everything else is open-ended.
So I'm just trying to like understand fully and put myself in this thought. Like, let's say I'm a user of Volar. Yeah. I fill out the basics. Then I say like, I want to talk about X. Like I basically talk about what I want. Is that how it would work?
Yeah.
So I could say like, I want to talk about like, what do you talk about? This is why it's so hard. I want to talk about where someone grew up. And at that point, it would ask me more questions, or like, how would that conversation start to spiral?
I think that if we just take a little half step back, it is much easier and in the flow when it asks you how you would introduce yourself to a friend.
Okay.
Like, we could start by saying like, hey, Julie, How would you introduce yourself to a friend of a friend for the first time?
Okay. So I just say like, oh, I like doing this and going here and I'm from this place. Okay.
Right. So then, so even with that, it gives you a kernel of something for it to follow to be like, oh, tell me more about whatever small town that you grew up in, right? For example. Mm. And so it like follows a certain thread.
See, I think that's the key. It's with traditional dating apps, it's an intake form. There's no interaction. You're just filling out the questions. And then in Volare, you're having an interaction. There is a conversation. So you feel like the app is actually getting to know you on a deeper level.
That's right.
So if I shared about myself and the AI asks me more, how would that go to the conversation with the fellow AI?
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily map one-to-one. So it's not going to just say every single thing that you said in your onboarding to the other person. It uses elements of your onboarding, including like facts that you gave it. Like I grew up in a small town outside of LA. It could use that, but it could also use things like your personality and your sense of humor and how you text to simulate the conversation with the other person. It will try its best to use kernels of things that you had said. So if you had told it you grew up in Ventura outside of Los Angeles, that might come up. It's not going to say you grew up in Georgia if you told it that you grew up in Ventura, but it may or may not use the fact that you grew up in Ventura. Like it depends on if it comes up in the simulated conversation with the other person.
Got it. So it really just depends what direction like any freeform convo would go.
That's right. And every convo is completely unique to you and the other person. So you'll never have the same exact conversation with anybody. Every single one is completely different.
This is fascinating. I want to go on, even though I'm not on the market for dating. I still want to go on.
I would highly recommend it for entertainment, if nothing else.
It is very entertaining. My friend that did that, the cheese one, this is her party trick now.
Nice.
She literally whips out the app at dinner parties and entertains people with the stories.
Wow, we should pay her.
Yeah, she's on the fly marketing.
Yeah, no, she's doing more work for us.
Have you ever seen like a conversation just like peter out with the AIs? It just like has nothing left to talk about, or does that not happen?
No, that definitely doesn't happen. And before I answer that, I would say we're only doing something like 10 exchanges.
Okay.
So it's not that hard to have 10 exchanges. Mm. And then kind of a funny bug that we had is like it didn't stop at 10 at some point, and it just kind of had an infinitely long conversation with another AI. So we actually had the opposite problem where it started just using up all of our like AI server credits. It cost us a lot of money when we like, and then we had like catch this bug because it was just having like an infinite conversation. So no, it is never going to run out.
That's hilarious.
Wait, so how do you prevent this from becoming an AI texting black hole? Other than fixing this bug, but like once their conversation stops, if the two humans aren't ready to connect, what happens?
Oh, nothing. So it just stops. So we tell it to stop. And then after about 10 exchanges, nothing continues. So if the humans don't take it over, we kind of assume that they don't want to continue the conversation.
Oh, I see.
So it's not like we continue simulating the like 300th conversation between those two people.
You know what's so funny is we've heard of like this happening long before AI. We've heard of humans creating some sort of chatbot technology. Mm-hmm. Do you remember this, UA? We had like, we heard of this guy that was, and I think I was actually on the receiving end of it at one point. Mm-hmm. He was like messaging like thousands of women. And I remember it felt like kind of weird. I didn't even know he was a bot at that point, but the convo didn't flow right. I mean, part of it's that there was a human on one side, there was a chat bot on the other side. So it felt like disjointed. And I remember being like, I'm going to exit this because this feels weird. Have you ever had like a situation that feels weird, or because it's so out in the open, it's solved?
I would say the way to address this, at least our way to address this, is to just be very clear that it's AI to AI and we don't have any crossover between human and AI. I think a lot of weird things happen when you're not sure or you're crossing human to AI. A lot of weird stuff can happen there. Yeah. So that is kind of at least our approach to trying to avoid that type of weirdness. But no, we have not really seen, I mean, the AI to AI conversations can be pretty weird. Like if you read the Wired article, there's like some sort of cartoon doing nuclear. I don't know why that came up. So it can get like kind of weird, but it won't be like awkward, like, wait, they're having two completely separate conversations and, you know, it doesn't make any sense. I don't think that's going to happen.
So I want to go into the part like when it's time for the humans to take over.
Sure.
So just to clarify too, like, were you swiping on this person in the first place to even say that you like them, or did you never see them until you've had this conversation?
Yeah, the way Volar is now, it's a little bit different in that you don't have like a stack of profiles that you're swiping through. Okay. We give you 3 matches per day that our algorithm thinks are the best matches for you. So you have never seen those profiles before. And then every day you get 3, you look at them, and the first thing you see is the simulated conversation between you and the other person.
Got it. So at that point, would you see a picture of them at all or not yet?
So it starts by you look at the conversation, but then you can tap on their profile picture or their name and the header. And then you can see their photos and their profile.
Got it. So you've at least seen that this person, that they've put in enough effort to have the AI work for them. Is that kind of what you're gauging at this point and seeing signs of their personality and any info from the conversation?
Yeah. I mean, beyond that, we're actually trying to find things to talk about and, you know, chemistry and common interests. So for example, in UA's friend's case, if you really like cheese, man, this person could be your soulmate. And maybe that would not have come up in, you know, a different dating app unless you put 6 profile pictures of cheese in it. And some of our users have said that, like somebody that they might not have swiped right on just by looking at photos. And they're like, it's an unlikely connection, but we had such chemistry in our conversation. Mm. My friend is like self-described weird sense of humor, found somebody else who also had a similar type of weird sense of humor. Mm. And that wouldn't come out just by swiping a bunch of photos.
And are you seeing that translate when they actually start talking and when they meet? Like, does that weird sense of humor carry over in the real person?
I guess I can't say because we never read any like user to user messages. So I can't really tell. I have not like seen it myself, but I do think that gives you a better chance.
Yep.
I don't think there's any guarantees in any sort of dating.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know if they're going to get married and have kids and live happily ever after, but I think they have a higher chance to.
I want to dive into this even more, but before we do, let's take a quick break to hear from our partners. By now, you've probably heard me raving about Osea. I'm obsessed with their Mega Moisture Duo, and I even caught my partner using it the other day because he smelled like seaweed. Now that's hot, right? You know who else would love Osea? Your mom, or your friends that are moms, or if you're a mom, because being a mom is hard work, and I think all moms deserve a spa day this Mother's Day. And what better way to make every day a spa day than with Osea's Mega Moisture Duo? And right now, you can even get an additional 10% off your first order with our code DATEABLE at OseaMalibu.com. Treat moms to the everyday spa experience she deserves with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code DATEABLE at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use the code DATEABLE for 10% off.
Want relationship advice from one of the leading experts in the field of couples therapy? Then Reimagining Love is for you. Hosted by one of our favorite guests on Dateable, Dr. Alexandra Solomon. She is a clinical psychologist, couples therapist, professor, and award-winning author. It is your destination for profound, enlightening discussions about love, family, intimacy, and everything in between. But more than that, she gives us the opportunity to reimagine ourselves, our relationships, and our world. So on the show, Dr. Alexandra gives in-depth research-backed takes on topics like dating, jealousy, communication, commitment, personal growth, and features notable guests from the worlds of therapy, academia, and pop culture, such as me and Julie from Dateable, among other people you may have heard of, like Esther Perel, Susan Cain, and Emily Nagoski. Her podcast is incredible, definitely worth a listen. We loved being on it, and we love having Dr. Alexandra on our show. So you can find her podcast, Reimagining Love, wherever you get your podcasts. Is it true that you can keep training the AI so that you can have better conversations?
Yeah, that's a really important part of the profile building. We don't want to force a user to do like a 3-hour long onboarding initially. So usually users do about 10 minutes of onboarding. And then after that, they can always come back to the assistant and basically update their profile, right? And it's still a natural language. You could say, hey, you said that I made these cheese dishes. I've actually never made any of them. And the assistant will be like, oh, sorry about that. I will take a note of that and it will never say that again. And so over time, you might have invested 3 hours, but you don't need to do all the 3 hours up front. Mm-hmm. And the more time you invest in telling the assistant what you're like, the more likely it's going to represent you properly when it simulates these conversations.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
So obviously, Volar is still pretty new. Where do you see this going? Like, what can you share with us, at least, beyond where you are today?
Yeah, I think we're very proud of what we built, but there's a lot of problems that we need to address. So there's a bunch of stuff that we need to fix and make better right away. I think the biggest question or issue that we've heard from users so far is what actually UI just mentioned, which is users get matched with people outside of their geography. And the reason for that is because we might not have enough users in any single market just yet that match your location, you know, gender preference, and like whatever other factors that you entered as your premises. We might have ran out in, like, let's say Los Angeles, and we think that there might be somebody, I don't know, Phoenix or something, that is a very good match, but geographically is not as good. So I think this is a problem of like a smaller product in the beginning, is you start to run out of people. So that's kind of our primary issue that we're working on right now.
But also kind of fascinating. Like, wow, never really thought about Phoenix, but
it's not that far. Yeah.
We did a lot of debates where, and then a lot of users asked us if they can match with people outside of their market because they're willing to fly, or maybe they just want to have like a friendship or something. There's been a lot of interesting debates on whether we even care about geography or even care about photos. Yeah. But so far, we're sticking to a more traditional path of trying to be, you know, finding somebody relatively close to you and actually have photos. That's our current strategy. But I guess there's been a lot of debates on if even those are necessary or not.
Maybe when you do like a hologram of the person, so like their AI could go on the plane so they don't have to physically go until it's like a real match.
I mean, you joke, but we actually talked about creating like cartoon versions of the users to go on dates with each other and create like a video or something to put on TikTok. But I don't know. I prefer not to go down that path.
Yeah.
For now.
Actually, that was something I wanted to ask you, because I feel like a few years ago when like VR was all the rage, there was this thought of your avatars would just go on dates together in virtual reality. And I feel like that was kind of the end of humanity. Are we ruining connection? This sounds terrible. Like, how do you balance using AI for efficiency versus like ruining the magic of dating? I think, I don't know, there's something about the avatars part that feels like a little forced to me, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Julie. Like, the avatars dating sounds terrible to me personally. However, I do think there are certain people or in certain situations, maybe when I'm like 80, 90 years old or something, maybe that would make more sense. But the way I look at all of this is I don't think it's either or. Yeah. It's kind of a false choice to be like avatar dating or in-person dating. To me, it's kind of like dating apps or meeting somebody in person. It doesn't have to be or, right? That was my approach when I started dating, is I still met friends of friends. I still went out to bars. And then when I was lying down in my bed before I went to sleep, I would swipe on. Like, it's additive, right? It's and,
right,
not or. So if some people want to have like a completely virtual like avatar dating thing, that's maybe not my jam currently. I don't know about me in the future, but I could see how for some people, maybe that is their jam and they also want to build, you know, relationships in person. That's totally fine to me. So basically my response to that is just overall, I don't think it's or, I think it can be and for people. And so, and then we don't have to force other people, like for me or for you, we don't have to force us to do avatar dating. Right, we can just choose not to, and we can just continue living our lives like we are. And then for some other people who maybe have social anxiety or aren't able to physically go around as easily,
yeah,
maybe that's actually a better option for them. So I think we can have everything on the menu for people to choose from.
I guess it's no different than like people that would meet through like World of Warcraft or like one of those. It's not really that different when you think about it.
And then most of those relationships just remain completely in the digital world, right? And then in some certain cases, people meet IRL or whatever, right? But regardless, people who play World of Warcraft, I would say the majority of them are still meeting real humans in the physical world,
right?
And then it's like an and statement. And they're also playing World of Warcraft. I guess there are some people who are only playing World of Warcraft and never meeting humans. I guess that also exists.
Yes.
As well.
Many.
But for them, maybe they're just like, they have so much social anxiety that like they need to meet people digitally and they just don't want to meet people in person. I mean, I'm not here to judge them.
Right. It still could be additive.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know their circumstances.
We're just redefining what connection is.
Yeah.
Could be in many different forms.
Yeah. Or we're expanding what connection is.
There you go. What do you think? I'm sure you've got a lot of questions about how do you deal with the gamification and the addiction that comes with dating apps? I don't know if you saw, but there was a class action lawsuit filed on Valentine's Day against from 6 dating app users against the Match Group for a predatory business model and deliberately employing psychologically manipulative features to ensure they remain on the app perpetually as paying subscribers. What's your response to that?
My tongue-in-cheek response is, I would love to be so smart to be able to manipulate users to use my app all the time. Like if I were able to do that, I would be very successful and rich. So that's my tongue-in-cheek answer. Now my real answer is, I guess that is a real issue that needs to be addressed. And kind of the way that the class action system is built is to try to keep things like this in check. I think that's like beyond my expertise or abilities, but I think that's part of the ecosystem and why class actions exist, is to try to not have things go too far overboard. So I don't know what the right level of engagement and gamification is, but I do think that like, the ecosystem has kind of like a system and feedback loop in play to try to like make sure it's safe for most people.
Where do you see the future of AI with data gaps, like in what you're doing, but also other data gaps or like the big players, like the Match, the Hinge, Bumble, Tinder? Like, do you see more and more of this starting to creep in?
Everybody's talking about AI and dating, right? I don't think there's anybody who's not talking about AI in the dating space. Almost all the applications I've seen so far are some version of helping you either choose photos, like better photos, or to give you some like suggestions for what to send to the other user, which we addressed already. I think it's like slightly confusing and misleading to the user. So to me, it sounds like they're trying to use a new technology for like the last generation of products, right? Which is photo-based, and then like the users getting stuck talking to each other. Now, obviously, I'm very biased. I think that it can be much better by using AI to improve the onboarding process, for the profiles to be a much better reflection of who people actually are, rather than a competition to upload the 6 most beautiful photos that you can edit in Instagram or whatever. So I believe that this is a much better experience. I think time will tell if that ends up being true or not. But my general take, as just like a more broadly as a technologist, is usually when a new tool comes about, people try to solve their like old problems with a new tool. And usually that new tool is not very good for the old problems. Mm. And so I feel like we're kind of in that phase right now. So I think Volare is much better. It's kind of like a new tool solving a kind of a slightly new problem. But even if it's not Volare, I believe that AI will have a much better version of online dating than just a swiping mechanic that was introduced, you know, so long ago by Tinder.
I would love to see like the end of profiles being the judge, because we've all established like you really can't get anything out of profiles. So like that should not be the be all end all. We see daters just spend so much time analyzing them for something that isn't even reflective of who someone is. So I'm glad to hear that like you're thinking of other ways, because I think the current way is, it's been around for way too long and we know there's a lot of challenges.
Well, they have to, because that's all that other users see.
Yeah, it's the only thing.
So like that's the only way for you to try to stand out, is try to make your photos better and better and better. And I shouldn't say it's not at all who you are, but it's a very small sliver of who you are as a person is what your photos are.
Yeah.
So not to say photos are bad, like we have photos in our app as well, like photos are important, but to me, that's like secondary to your personality and your interests.
Yep.
And time will tell if I'm right, or if people just really want to swipe photos.
Yeah, we say to get to the conversation ASAP, like that's the only way you're going to know. So that's basically what you're doing, is you're
getting people there. That's what we're trying to do, yes.
Have you tested out Volare with your fiance and see if you would actually match with each other?
That's a really funny story, which is, as part of building, we can go behind the scenes a little bit. For building the product itself, I had the idea, right? I had no idea if it would work. We definitely build a prototype before we build this whole app and everything. And of course, my fiance and I were like the first kind of guinea pigs to test this user engagement. And so we simulated maybe hundreds of first dates between her and me. The first couple dozen were terrible. They were just super wooden, very robotic, not good at all. And we kept iterating on it and trying to improve it, trying to make it better. And over time, we got it to, I think her actual words are, "This is much better than talking to you." I think the joke itself was, because I was running at UA Knows, I was like running a lot at the time. Mm. And so my profile said something about running. It's like, "Hey, do you ever run?" And then Julia's AI said, "Oh, the only running I'll ever do is a Housewives marathon on Bravo."
Yeah, that is so her.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So UA Knows, my fiance as well. And Julia was like, "This is like so much better than something that I would have said." And it's just true. There's no way I would have known she watches Housewives. And It was just really funny. So we have done way too many tests between my fiance and me. So she's a really good sport about it.
Oh, you know, that's okay. But even in that conversation, what is so interesting about that is, in a normal, like if two people were chatting on an app, more times than not, the non-runner probably would have said something like, I like running, or yeah, running's cool.
Yeah.
But AI used
something
that.
Polite.
Yeah. Something polite. Yeah. Or try to relate.
Right.
But AI actually related that back to their interests.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. So that's where it's like very powerful.
That's the efficiency.
I'm not sure that humans, well, I don't know. I'm not very good at this. So maybe there's somebody out there who's much better than I am who can think of something that clever. But there's no way I can judo something that I'm not interested in and talk about the thing that I'm interested in. Like, that's pretty advanced.
Yeah.
Yeah, in my opinion. So
that's so fascinating. Mm-hmm. How long have you been live when we're recording this end of February at this point? Like, how long has this been live?
So we launched in Austin only right before Christmas as a test, and that went pretty well. And we launched nationally then with the Wired article, which was January, I think, 25th. So it's been less than a month so far. So it's still very, very new, but the users have been pretty enthusiastic in their, I think, enjoyment and criticism as well of Volar. So I find that as a good sign when people care.
Have you heard of anyone go on dates or not yet?
Yeah, multiple people have told us they've been on real physical dates in Austin already. So it's, that part is working. Too early to tell if they're going to get married, have kids, live happily ever after. But
you wouldn't know after a month? What do you mean?
I can do is give them a chance, right? Give them a higher chance. That's all I'm trying to do.
When we have our first Volar baby named Volar in 9 months, we'll know that this is working. Any surprise findings?
Yeah, I think some of the surprises were about the user groups being even older than I think we initially had thought, skewing more female than male, which is very uncommon for dating apps. If you look at like Hinge and Tinder, I think they're like 75-80% male. See other interesting findings. Yeah, like I think a lot of the users say that they are able to build connections with people that they would not have necessarily swiped right on.
That's
great. Another dating app, which I didn't really think that much about as I was building it. The media also really loves it. I mean, we've been covered on a lot of media outlets without much. I mean, we're a tiny startup that we just launched, and we're talking very mainstream, not just like TechCrunch or startup media outlets. So I think there's something about the zeitgeist right now. Everybody's definitely interested in AI dating. I understand there's a lot of hesitation, and I'd be curious what you guys would say in terms of reasons not to do this, or what you've heard from your friends or users. And then I'd love to kind of hear that as well.
I mean, I think what's really fascinating, we can definitely share our thoughts, but I think what's fascinating before we do that is what you were saying of people saying they were dating people they would have not on the traditional apps. Mm-hmm. And we hear this all the time of why, apps are challenging is because you'd pass up on people that you wouldn't in real life.
Yep.
And a lot of that's because of the conversation and the vibe of the conversation when you meet someone in person. So I love that's actually coming through here.
You don't even get that in a traditional dating app scenario. You're just swiping left and right.
Right.
You're not even getting to the conversation and finding that somebody has a really weird sense of humor that happens to be the same as yours.
And everyone gets so fixated on height or where someone works and the resume, basically, because that's the only info you have. You don't have the conversation.
Yeah, exactly. I don't blame the users because that's all they have to go on. So I don't
So I love
them.
That shift.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of hesitations. I mean, I think there's feeling. I'm just trying to plant myself into a user's perspective or one of our listeners. And I think there's this feeling of tech taking over romance, right? Dating is supposed to be this magical moment where two people lock eyes from across the room and know they're the one. But I think the reality is that's not really how it's working today anyways. So that might not be an apples to apples comparison, but I can hear that of are we just edging out connection even more? I know you said earlier, it's a different type of connection. We're expanding, but that's the thing that keeps popping in for me.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that it was really important for us to have the AI hand off to the human and not try to replace the human to human connection building. As I mentioned, there's these AI assistants that try to tell you what to say, and that's very strange.
That's weird. Yeah.
To me.
I like this way.
So,
better.
Yeah. I know maybe you're not locking eyes across a room like before, but if you're on a dating app, you weren't doing that anyway.
No.
So if you're in a dating app, you might as well
skip
to the chemistry and the kind of common interest part. If you really want to lock eyes with somebody across the room, you can still do that. It's and.
Right.
Please.
It's not going away.
I encourage you to still try to do that. Meet friends of friends, go to church, go to bars, however else you are doing it. Please also do that. And if that works out great, then you don't need Volar, then that's awesome. But please consider doing all those things and also a dating app or Volar.
Another pushback would be, is this just lazy dating? Yeah. Are we promoting people to be lazier and lazier? I mean, people barely send out one word first text, and now we're just letting AI take over that initial interaction?
Yeah. I would say this is meant to be moving away from laziness, right? So I think the laziest thing is Tinder, which, by the way, is a great product. I don't mean to disparage it entirely, but it's just swiping through photos. I think that's as lazy as you can make it. Yeah. It actually takes more work to use Volar. So we actually have a lot of guys complain that it takes too much time to like read through these conversations. I'm like, okay, that maybe this isn't a very good product for you.
It's not for them.
Yeah exactly. Yeah.
So like I asked a couple of our users to send in some of their best like opening messages from a real human. If you guys wanna hear.
Oh, yes.
Some of these. So, okay, so I'm going to read text, which is always a little dicey, but LOL, auto chat lied. I haven't been to Sierras, but there's a cool spot named the Chileo Camping Ground in the damn behaving mountains that I've been to. I love the outdoors with friends. What do you like? Right. Oh. That's like literally the first message that they have sent.
Yeah. Human so to human. Much better. Hey, how's your weekend? Right.
Yeah. So if you guys have been on dating apps, it's usually like, hey, how's your weekend?
Right. There's no point of reference.
Right.
At all. And that already has a point of reference.
Yeah. And it's like a common bond, something to laugh at, like something to bond over, all of that.
And it's specific to the users, right? So another said, to answer your AI's question, I just saw you two at the Sphere and it was amazing. A long time ago, I saw Genesis and it started with Phil Collins and someone else. Two drum sets rose from below the stage. Both drummers were playing in sync. It drew me to live music ever since. So it's like, that's like an amazing story. Like, how can you communicate that in a dating profile? That's impossible.
Well, I know you said you were surprised like that your demographic was slightly older. In a way, I'm kind of not, because like it's kind of skipping over a lot of the tech that people don't want to be part of, like being there, you know, typing back and forth and like having this small talk.
Totally. Afterwards, I thought of this. I was like, it makes a lot of sense because a lot of the older demographic, like millennials and above, they grew up before the internet, right? Mm-hmm. They were used to meeting people in person and talking to them and then having a lot more context of physically seeing the person, you know, to have a conversation. And then this whole like internet thing came about and they had to learn how to chat and text and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So for younger people, they're like it's native, right? Talking to a stranger online is, you know,
the norm.
Is very easy for them.
Yeah.
Versus for somebody who's a little bit older, like even I consider myself in this bucket, starting the conversations is awkward. But once you get it started, of course, they can continue and keep the ball rolling. Yeah. So it actually makes sense that it skews a little bit older.
I mean, we have a lot of listeners that are divorced and coming back into the dating market and have never used dating apps before. And,
exactly.
You know, met their person, their first partner, like in the wild, out and about. And it's just totally foreign. So I could see how this could actually be like a tool to help, even though it's funny because it's so tech forward because it's AI.
That's right.
But it's also like helping eliminate some of that overload of tech that you have to do.
Yeah, there is like a little bit of old-fashionedness about this. On one hand, when you're talking about like the older users, I definitely am an older user. I grew up with the message of don't talk to strangers online.
That's right.
There are predators. Yeah, there are child molesters, right? So you like, there is always going to be that challenge for me to talk to any stranger online because that's like the back of my mind. I've been conditioned to think that way.
Yeah.
And the other part, what I think it's like the old fashionedness about Volar is there's like a matchmaking element, like you're handing it off to someone to make kind of that decision for you.
Yeah.
And it's not so much an algorithm. Like I think that having an assistant is actually so genius. You're not talking to an algorithm. There's someone in your corner trying to find the best match for
you.
That's right. And we're trying to get back to that.
No different than a virtual assistant when you think about it for business or whatever.
Yeah. And it can actually take your feedback, right? You can tell it, hey, I didn't really like this part about this match you gave me. And be like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And let me update your profile. When you're on Tinder or something, I mean, you're not giving it any feedback, right? It's the giant black hole of machine learning that no one knows, you know, how it works.
This has been such a fascinating conversation. Is there anything that we didn't cover that you want to make sure that we hit upon?
I think that we covered a lot of ground, which is really great. And I really enjoyed talking about it with you too. But I would just close by emphasizing we're not replacing the human-to-human connection.
Yep.
For better or for worse, right?
Right.
If you wanted that, I'm sorry, we don't do that for you. And then for the people who are a little skeptical of saying like, oh, it takes all the magic out, I promise you, you're still going to have to build the magic person to person.
Yeah.
You know, whether you use Volar or not, you still have to go on the dates, you know, still have to try to build a connection. You know, that's all still going to happen. So it's not a either or, it's an and.
Yeah, I love that. And it's such a good segue to our takeaways. You know, that's how it is with current dating apps. Like, you still have the chance for the magic when you meet in person. It's just an efficiency.
Right.
And it's funny, you were saying, like, my friend's AI was talking to another AI. And I was just thinking, like, I never thought in 1,000 years that we'd have this conversation on this podcast.
And here we are.
And here we are. But I'm glad we're here. And I feel like I'm a medium adopter to AI. I'm not like, I think you are like super excited about AI.
I love AI.
I think I'm not like so anti it, but I'm kind of medium. I'm skeptical. I have like a little healthy skepticism. And I think what I'm learning in general through just AI, like in business settings and like, of course, in dating now, it's a way to ease up some efficiencies. It's never going to replace your thought processes or the connection. But if there's areas that you're like, this is a slog to do, I'm getting bogged down here, I'm not able to maximize my time, then AI can be a really good path. And I really like here how it's like super transparent. You are talking to AI and then it's giving you the opportunity to review that and have the conversation. And like you said, there's people that are like, this is too much work. And it's like, I'm sorry, if you can't review AI's comments, then maybe you're not ready for a relationship. Like, just saying.
Which is fine.
Which is fine. Which is fine. Exactly. Yeah. So I love that this is like, you know, priming people to get rid of some of the areas that can be depressing and to get you to, you know, we hear so many people like, I just never get a response or I never get this. It just makes me want to give up and uninstall the app. And that makes me so sad because like someone amazing could be the next person you interact with.
That's right.
So I'm glad that like you've been able to identify some of those pain points and hopefully in the future, there'll be even more. And as this expands. So yeah, I think that's just my biggest takeaway. It's not a replacement. It's just an efficiency.
No, I appreciate that. And that we hopefully we can earn the user's trust over time, right? I think only time will tell. If we're misleading users and you're falling in love with AIs, I think pretty soon people are going to find out and hate it. It could work as a trick for a little while. But I think over time, I think the transparency will pay off when we earn the people's trust and say AI is actually helping you.
Yeah.
It's not replacing you. I'm saying that currently today, but over time, I think people will live it and either feel it or they won't. And I hope I'm successful, but I think time will tell.
Well, you're paving the way. I mean, the big takeaway I have is people have been bitching about dating apps for over a decade now. Yes. Like, it's just swipe culture, vanity swipe, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
You are all begging for a change. And this is the change that we've been looking for. If you're resistant to it, it means like maybe you're not ready for that next step of what a dating app could look like. Stick to your swiping apps, but something's got to give.
Right.
And so if we don't test and try out whatever is a new feature for a dating app out there, how can we improve dating apps for us? So we're really doing ourselves a favor by really adapting AI. The other part I was just thinking of is that there's an existential aspect to AI, which is you're training a learning model to reflect back you. So a lot of this is when you're training this model and you see these conversations, you got to ask yourself, is this how I want to present myself?
Yeah.
Is this who I am? I think there are a lot of questions to be answered. And the more you train this model, I think the more you get to understand how you are perceived.
Mm-hmm.
How crazy is that? Never have we ever had an opportunity to have a dynamic model that reflects you back to you in real time. That is powerful.
If you're like, this conversation is super boring, you can look at.
Yeah, it could be like, am I just like, is it cheese? Is cheese my whole identity?
Personality, yeah.
Is that the most interesting thing about me?
So that's so fantastic. I think that's a really powerful way to look at AI as well.
Yep.
Ben, has anybody ever put in the AI conversation into ChatGPT to help grade it or summarize it?
Okay. I don't know if users have done that. I'm pretty certain that people have. I would say our team, like when we were writing the algorithms in the beginning, we did ask ChatGPT to help us rate different conversations.
That's so crazy.
But that starts to get pretty weird because then it's like AI is rating, AI is talking to other AI. Like
so at some better. Point,
I get pretty lost. So that's not a really core part of our development process, but I'm sure we've done it and I'm sure users have done it as well.
Wild. My AI will talk to your AI's AI and let you know if your AI thinks my AI's AI is working for our AI.
Mind is blown right now.
This is like inception. I don't know how many levels we are deep, but I think one level is where I prefer to be.
Yes.
That's my comfort level right now.
Baby steps, baby steps.
Yes. One step at a
time. Well, before we break our brains, Ben, where can people download Volar?
Yeah, we're just in the App Store on iOS. So you can just search Volar Dating or you can Google us online. We also have a web version, mobile web. Just look for Volar Dating and we should be towards the top there. And please give it a try and let us know what you like and don't like.
And how do they let you know? How do they give you feedback?
So like you can tell the assistant and that assistant actually sends messages to us. Oh. But some people can write reviews and, you know, they can email support. There's many different ways. But like you can actually just do it directly in the app and tell the assistant your feedback. And we get that on our side too.
I'm dying to try it out.
Yeah, let's try it.
Julie, UA and I will get matched with each other.
That would be fantastic.
You guys should see what happens and see what the conversation is. You might be surprised.
To see our AIs talk to one another and see what happens.
I know. And then Julie's going to be like, I like our AI conversations better. I no longer want to talk to you.
Be careful. Julia, my fiance already said that. So
yeah.
That is a risk.
Yeah. It's fine. It's fine. We need our space.
Nothing can ever take away the real connection, UA. Don't you worry.
No. We worked so hard to build it. But sometimes we need a break and just have AI take over. With that said, all of you all listening to this right now, why don't you go to Apple Podcasts, give us a rating and review. Tell us what you thought of this episode. If you tried Volar, what you think of AI dating in general. But before you do that, give us 5 stars, please, because it takes us a lot of time and effort to make this content. And we need a lot of credibility to get guests like Ben on our show. Even though he's my friend and he's doing me a favor.
This is not AI generated content. We are all
here.
This
is real content.
Real humans.
An hour of our lives has been here.
Yes, we've earned that 5-star rating. Thank you for doing that. And if you have any other thoughts, ideas in terms of AI dating, you can even email those to us. hello@datablepodcast.com is our email address. All right, we're going to end this conversation with some real human goodbyes.
Stay Dateable.
The Dateable Podcast is part of the Frolic Media Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram @DatablePodcast and visit DatablePodcast.com for access to all the episodes and our premium programs. Also, make sure to subscribe today if you haven't already on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform so you are the first to get all the latest episodes. And most importantly, stay dateable.